Hello and good evening to you listening to Nationwide. My name is Sunny Martin. We are coming to you live from Juba. And this evening, we are going to be giving you an update on the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement that was signed in 2018. And 5 years down the line, and with extension by 2 more years by what is known as the roadmap, how far is the peace process being implemented? These are the questions we are going to be discussing here with my guest this evening, with the chairperson of the Reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, and he's going to be with me here in our studio, Ambassador Major General Retired Charles Tai Gitwai, who is going to be with me here in the next throughout the next 50 minutes. And our lines will be open to you, where you can call on 0921 0926 86297 or 0912106 2079. Those are all our lines, or you can send us your SMS to our SMS number 0912177141. Those are all our lines. You can get in touch with us here. And in our discussion this evening, we are going to be looking at the status of the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement, as we are expecting election to be conducted in December 2024. Last week, during the RGMEC 32nd monthly meeting in Juba here, the chairperson of the RGMEC said the lack of sufficient progress clarity on election preparedness is creating uncertainties. A lot of work still remains to be done to complete the critical pending task necessary to effect South Sudan's democratic election or transition come next year. I am joined here, like I said, by Ambassador Major General Retired Charles Tai Gitwai. Good evening and welcome once again to Radio Mirai, and thank you so much for honoring our invitation during a busy schedule.
Thank you, Martin, and good evening, viewers.
So first, beginning by telling us, where are we right now with the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement, including the roadmap?
Thank you, Martin. First of all, I want to thank you for inviting me to the studio once again. As you just mentioned earlier, this is 5 years since this agreement was signed. In fact, we are celebrating 5 years of the agreement as it was signed on 12th of September 2023 is 5 years. We are also celebrating exactly 1 year of the roadmap that was signed roughly August of last year. So basically, what are we saying? We are saying that you have been on this road for 5 years, and within those 5 years, we have a government in place, reconstituted, revitalized government, national unity, which is now in power. It's a creature of this agreement. And it is in power. It has a parliament. It has a cabinet. It has a state government. They have their cabinets as well. And generally, the governance structures are in place. Obviously, there are challenges that we've gone through the 5 years of this implementation. At this point in time, and referring to the roadmap that was an extension of time, the critical issues that were out and focus for the extension of this period was actually the constitution-making process, the unification of forces, the operationalization of the legal framework that was to be, of course, prepared and reviewed by the National Constitution Review Commission, and also, more importantly, the election process. And I've always said many times that election is a process, and therefore it requires ample time to prepare. Critically, we can say that, yes, we have progressed in various chapters up to now, where we have reached now. We have a bit of progress in the governance. Of course, the chapter 2, as you know, we've had a graduation of the 53,000 forces. We have been able also to see the issues regarding the legal framework that has been passed by Parliament. Several laws have been already passed. They have been enacted. They have been assented by the President. And basically, you can say, yes, we have moved forward.
So how will you describe the journey for the last 5 years? Is it an easy one or a bumpy one?
It has been a bumpy period of time. But what is important and what we need to reflect on is that we always say that the cup is half full. If you look from the time this country got its independence, 2011 up to 2018, that particular period was much more rough than the period between 2018 and now. So we can say the last 5 years, we have seen some element of stability. the permanent peace is holding. And you can see, because of that permanent peace that has been holding, we have seen some relative development in the country. We've seen infrastructure development. You have seen a bit of investor confidence in the country. And despite, of course, the challenges that have been there all through this road, we need also to understand where we are coming from as a country, what challenges that were there before, and we are evolving from what kind of a situation.
Yes, I think you have the record more than I do, but the last time I checked, I was told that we are left with about 15 months for election to be conducted next year, as per the roadmap in December 2024. So what are some of the critical tasks which are yet to be implemented, and in your opinion as a monitor, which are very critical and important for the parties to really at least make a milestone in terms of implementation?
Yes, indeed, elections, as I have mentioned, is actually a process. It is not an event. And to get to that particular position of conducting elections in the country, certain requirements are supposed to be in place by now. And more importantly, the roadmap itself was based on the fact that the parties and identified what they thought was critical, which they thought was important for them to focus on, so that they are able to go for elections which are free and fair. The main objective of this extension was, first of all, to have the constitution in place, to have the unified forces in place, and also to have the election process itself. And when I say election process, it means that the laws that govern elections, and particularly also the operationalization of the legal framework that involves the establishment of the National Election Commission, the establishment of National Constitutional Review Commissions, the establishment of the Political Parties Council, which will be able to come up with the political party registration, the enabling environment for campaigning, and also, of course, the process that go with it, including also the issues regarding the registration of voters, the processes of knowing how to conduct the election itself. All those processes are supposed to be in place as you are talking. What the agreement says is that 6 months before elections, that is supposed to be June next year, all these processes should be completed, including the registered voters register should be in the hands of the National Election Commission. Already, as we are talking, we do not have the National Election Commission. We do not even know when the voters registration will start. And that is why we are saying we have a short time that is there. And what was supposed to have been done progressively is not much that has been done compared to what we thought would have been done. And the pronouncements that we hear that are made by politicians are not actually matching what is on the ground. And these are the issues as monitors we always bring about and try to question or to bring to the leadership, to bring to the meetings like plenary, to ask what have we done, where are we, and what are we going to do to ensure that we get all this done within the time frame that is there.
And as monitor, what are some of the concerns the parties are telling you when you engage with them in your discussion? Why are these things not being implemented? What are the main challenges?
The key issue that you hear from the parties, number one, is about finance. They say that, of course, there's a huge challenge of finance. Secondly, they say that there are, of course, issues regarding the capacity gap in terms of those who are supposed to do certain things. The other thing is that even there is also an element of delay in the process, which sometimes you would not understand whether it is actually apathy or is a challenge of lack of interest or is it a question of the political will. But basically, what we have seen is that there are certain things that should have been done. There are things that should have been done, but they have not been done.
Things like?
For example, the unification of forces is not really a huge problem if the parties agree. If, for example, parties agree that all the forces have to report to the concentration area, report to the for selection, and those who go to the training, they go for training. Those who will be left in the concentration areas, they can go for DDR. Deployment of those who are in the training camps could have been done. If really we are focusing on a critical issue that is about security of the country as you go towards election, which is a very important aspect in a country like this one that has been so much problem for such a long time. We think that this is a critical requirement that should have taken priority, regardless of the amount of money that should be budgeted for. I think it takes priority because what is important is stability and peace and security.
Talking about the deployment of the necessary unified forces, why is it taking quite a long time for these forces to be deployed throughout the country, given the fact that they were graduated?
Well, as I just mentioned, one issue that is being raised is the finances. Secondly, also, there are challenges of the parties agreeing on various issues. For example, there is a disagreement between the big parties on the middle-level deployment or the middle-level sharing of positions. Some parties want to know exactly which position they are going to take, and they have not agreed fully on this. So this delays. Secondly, also, there's a challenge of what will happen to those who will not be eligible. For example, if councils that are given are less than the number of officers that are there, for example, it becomes a challenge for the political leaders to know what to do with those who will not be able to be accommodated in the system. And I think that is what we are saying, that DDR is a critical requirement that needs to be taken seriously. And this is one thing also we have been appealing even to international community, that DDR is not actually a military requirement, because DDR is basically demobilization, demilitarization, and reintegration. And if it is involving those soldiers, specifically for soldiers, not for the civilians who are armed, the soldiers who are supposed to be demobilized because they are not going to form the military, they're not going to be part of the force that are going to join the unified forces, this can attract some international funding, so that at least we help South Sudan to get out of this situation, which they seem to be stuck on. And this is an issue that we think it is important that the international community can listen and try to see how best, if we really want to help South Sudan in a more proactive manner.
What is RGMEC doing to support the parties to overcome these challenges, more especially on Chapter 2? The parties, like you said, have not agreed on a lot of issues, including the issue of the DDR. What is the role of RGMEC here in advising them?
Well, as RGMEC, one thing we do is that we normally would share information with them. We would be able to contribute where we are asked to contribute. We are very much involved in issues regarding the DDR. In issues regarding, like, for example, we are in the committees that are involved in special reconstruction, rather the SDSR board. We are involved in those kind of arrangements. We are also always monitoring through Citizen VM on the issues regarding the situation out there on the ground. Even this mechanism, JDB, JMCC, we are always part of what we monitor. And we are not implementers, as you know. We only monitor and advise where we are asked to advise. So in the absence of not being told to give any information or any advice, we don't advise. But we normally suggest what we think is best for what you can tell the leadership here, or what you can tell the militaries, particularly on Chapter 2, which you also monitor, and we have experts in Chapter 2 who monitor the progress of Chapter 2. If they require our advice, you normally give. But what we know is that this is an issue that can truly be agreed upon by the parties. And if they can sit down and agree, if there are no suspicions, if there are trust between them, if they can really understand the importance of having a unified force, and importance of having one commander-in-chief in the country, importance of having all these unified commander-in-chiefs that make one commander-in-chief, and be able to know that troops actually are supposed to be apolitical, because militaries don't pledge loyalty to political parties. Militaries are supposed to be loyal to the constitution, loyal to the country, and loyal to the commander-in-chief of the day. And basically, if you have these fragmented parties militaries everywhere who are pledging loyalty to political parties, then you have a big problem. And this was envisaged in the agreement right from the onset. And that is why we think it's an important aspect that should actually take priority if this country is going to be stable going forward, even post-elections.
And from your engagement again with the parties, how much money will it cost for the deployment of this first phase of the unified forces, and the possibilities of getting a phase two to the training grounds?
Well, the budgeting for this is purely the role of the government anyway. But what I know, I think last time in our plenary meeting, Honorable Minister Omuro mentioned some like the mechanisms that are responsible for these forces have forwarded a budget of $50 million, which according to him thinks that this is a lot of money, which really should be, they should be able to be more rational in their budgeting. And I think that is where they are still struggling to come up with appropriate budgets that are that can be, you know, enough for deployment of the forces and also for the training of phase two. So this has not been yet agreed upon on the budgeting issue. And I think these are some of the things that are causing this delay. And what is really sad is that these forces have been in training areas for almost now 5 years going, because rather 3 years going. And this is something that really, me as a military person, I really feel sorry for these troops, because you cannot hang there for all that length of time. You are not deployed. You are not doing anything. I don't even know how they stick in that camp, whether they are training or what do they do in the camp or through. They graduated from the institution. They're supposed to have been out in the field. Mm-hmm. They are still there. And I believe that I think it is important that the leadership in this country really take this thing seriously, because these are fellows who are very, 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 I visited them in the training areas when they were training, and I saw very loyal, very devoted soldiers, very, very motivated soldiers. And I think when you keep them like this, you're going to demotivate them.
So you think as the RJMEC, there is a kind of, the level of frustration among these forces is beginning to show up?
Well, I don't want to say that, because I've not visited them since last time when I was, attending the graduation.
Yeah.
But it's left in your imagination. If you graduated 2 years ago, or rather
you
6 months ago, and you don't get a job, what happens?
Okay. Now, during your last plenary meeting here at Beijing Hotel last week, you said the lack of sufficient progress, clarity, or election preparedness is creating uncertainty. Why did you raise this kind of concern as the monitoring body of the peace agreement?
Indeed, if you look at, for example, the time that is left between now and election time, it is 14 months to be precise.
14 months.
And 14 months in a country that is going for elections. And by this time, a lot of activities will be happening. This time, we'll be having actually very hot campaigns going on. We'll be having parties registered. We'll be having a lot of dimensions of politics going on here. You'll be interviewing politicians from different parties to bring about their manifesto issues. And we'll be seeing the country in a state of focus, and also freedom of speech, freedom of discussion, where you'll be able to see people discussing and bring about what they think about, what they want going forward. But we have not seen anything in that direction except, of course, specific pronouncements from specific individuals saying we are going to have election this and this date, we are going to have election December 2024. But those pronouncements, matching them with what is on the ground. For example, the Political Parties Council is yet to be formed. The Political Parties Council role is to allow the political parties to be registered, and those political parties that are registered to conform to the political legal framework that has already been reviewed. So what we're saying here is that we do not have Political Parties Council which would register parties. So which parties are going to go for elections if they're not registered by this time? If they will be registered within the time frame, of course we are saying we are concerned, we are not seeing this clarity of the parties being registered, the parties going for campaigns, the clarity of even campaigns themselves in terms of movement of the political parties and the political leaders out there in the country, campaigning. And also the need also to think about the fact that even those parties who are not in the agreement, the agreement does not stop them from participating in politics, in elections, because the agreement gives opportunity for other parties to register, for example. So any party that registers now can go for a campaign. So if there is no systems that will allow political parties to register, then how are we talking about elections in a short time? And yet there's so much that needs to be done. If you're talking about the constitution itself, which is supposed to be the constitution that's supposed to take the country to the elections, already we are talking about formation of the National Constitutional Review Commission, which is names have just been forwarded. The formation of the preparatory committees that are going to form the drafting committees for the constitution. All those have not been put in place. So then, at what stage do we say we shall be able to have the new constitution or the permanent constitution for elections? Or if no permanent constitution, which constitution then are we going to have elections on? That's why we are saying there's no clarity, because no one is saying where, what is going to happen. And we are 14 months down the road.
And with all these uncertainties you have mentioned, and they are not yet resolved by the parties, with just 14 months left, what are the most likely scenario we are going to see come December next year? And if elections are conducted by next year with all these uncertainties we are talking about, do you think the parties, the region, the international community, and the people of South Sudan will accept the outcome of the result of this election?
I want you to know that 14 months is still
too much.
A lot of time. Mm-hmm. A lot of things can happen. Even one day you can have all this, for example, the legal framework already passed. Tomorrow we can have the forces begin to move to the training areas. In a 3 weeks' time, you can have those fellows who are in the training camps deployed. I mean, it is a question of what the leadership may have planned, which maybe I'm not privy to. But what I know is that there is what you call the high-level standing committee, which has been established under the leadership of Honorable Minister Lomoro, and it has all the political parties in it. So I would expect that that committee is actually the one that is discussing the way forward on elections, and I would expect them to be able to be disseminating information so that we all know what are their strategies and what are their plans. This committee, of course, is all working with the trilateral committee of the UNMIS, and also African Union, and also the IGAD on issues regarding the progress of elections. So there is institutions and organizations that are actually discussing these issues. So I believe we cannot make a judgment now. We believe there is still time that we can see things happening.
Last month or 2 months ago, you were in New York engaging with the diplomats, and you engage always in Juba here with the diplomats and gauging their views. They come for consultation in your office to get your views about how prepared is South Sudan to conduct election in 2024, December next year. So in your opinion, do you think the international community believe that election can happen next year, or they still have some kind of reservation or some issues they feel should be a benchmark for a free, fair, and credible election to be conducted next year?
Well, I cannot speak for international community, Martin, but I can say that the general feeling is that everyone in this country wishes this country well.
Yeah.
And everyone in this country wants to see the structures that are important, and the infrastructure for elections in place. Everyone wants to see the agreement followed, the letter and spirit. When the extension came, 24 months extension, the agreement was that the critical issues that are there will be implemented. And the extension was a party extension. It is the parties that agreed that they want to have this roadmap. So it is the parties who agreed that they are going to do this, and they gave themselves the timelines. So the question is, if it's the parties that agreed, it is believed that they must have sat and strategized and put all the resources and the strategies together to ensure that this extension is achieved. And therefore, what everyone, international community and everyone else is asking is, why don't we have this program that was written down by the parties implemented? Why is it that we cannot have everything done in accordance to what the parties agreed? Because the parties agreed. And that is the focus, that everyone wants to see this country peaceful, this country get to elections in a peaceful manner, and we get the next level out of the transition period.
Yes, before our lines are open, Ambassador, first of all, you have already mentioned some of the issues you think should be done, but has RGMEC, what do you think are the key issues right now but that should the parties focus on in terms of getting closer in these 14 months? At least, if not all, at least some of the issues should be accomplished before election happens. What are some of those key issues?
We have said again, times without number, that you need to have the constitution in place if you want to go for elections. Because the constitution was very clear, and the constitution has very specific issues that the people of South Sudan wanted. The people of South Sudan wanted to have this constitution to be the... and even the agreement is very clear that the elections have to be conducted within the framework of this constitution. And because the constitution was to determine the supremacy of the people of South Sudan, it was to initiate the systems, of whether it's a federal or democratic system of government, that reflect the character of the people of South Sudan. Whether the government will, the constitution was to come up with the structures of good governance, constitutionalism, rule of law, human rights, and equity. It was also to guarantee the aspects of the stability of the country, and it was to promote people's participation in the governance of their country. So that is what the constitution is all about. So if then you go for elections with, I don't know whether it is with the old constitution, I don't know, I am not sure what's going to happen. That's the clarity we are talking about. And there's a clarity that we think is important. So key was the constitution. Secondly was the issues of the political even the security of elections itself. You cannot achieve security of elections if you do not have unified forces. If people are still threatened out there in the periphery, how will you be able to campaign, for example? If you are in a place where the stronghold is of people who have weapons, and you happen to win elections, are you going to be able to survive from the opposition or from the other party that is harmed? So unification of forces was a critical requirement. And again, these are important issues that were raised in the agreement as the root causes of what caused the problem of 2013-2016. So if they are not resolved, then how have we moved forward?
Okay. 0912062079 is our number to call, or 0929686297. Or you can send us your question to our SMS number 0912177141. And in the studio, I have Ambassador Major General Retired Charles Tai Gitwai this evening in our studio, who is the chair of RJMEC, the Reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission. And we are looking at the very latest update on the implementation of the peace process, including the roadmap, with just 14 months left for the expected conduct of the general election in December 2024. If you have got any question, you can ask us, and he will be answering your question here, because this is the body charged in terms of monitoring the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement. We do have a couple of questions coming in here via our SMS number, and I will be reading some of them as they come in. Hello, Redimira. Hello. Hello. Yes. Ana Kwes. Manut. Oh, okay. So I'll take it away.
Salam le devna presidio. Mm-hmm. Yani ani ne shab junub yani darin salam. Number 2 bito sa na mate sol bita le dev presidio. Tabar ni nam nugul salam. Oni ne gan nugul te kaba yani fi nas nugul darin te kaba tu darin salam. Nas mo kalaba tu ne zol dar salam awel. Liaw mushaq kedin. Liaw kulu fi ajasi yani kubanat anin. O fi non government o fi jerjer fi kubanat anin. So what we type with them of procedure then we procedure the give an idea either by the Nas Shabab will come to you the other with that Nas Jamakan Mushaka Shore, Vinas, Yakamunas, which was left in Mosanin, Vinas Pulu Group, we are in non government Sharia, we are here, Logo or Pia Bijip Asil Mosanin, Tabani, Badarabo, Tajir Bajakamo.
Shukran Kal Samanut min wow 0912062079 or 0912062950. Those are all our lines. You can call and be part of our discussion this evening. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, your name? Okay, Mbia Tawal Biswal Dage.
Okay, koi sana bashkor dual video wala bashkor ak anina koi sin jidan anina ka shabda jinu sudan derin al muhabba wa salam basiki da taba ni ni kabas biga griba ne na gasma ko inda na kon bitana kan fi university ja university la fi kan fi banda o fi bagana gadin za ta sakin kaman fi kan kaman bardol fi jindo kena halal nazal gadin al barra da yawo balda kabas o nazal gadin fi university kun ke.
Okay, shukran kalisa mbia mina tonch. I will be putting your questions to my guest here. Hello. Hello. Yes, we have James Shatter from WOW, and he says his question is, what are the challenges the parties are facing in terms of deploying these unified forces? In your opinion as the monitor, what should be the unique challenge as to why these forces are not being deployed? That's from James from WOW. And this one here is coming from Tap Mark Dew in Bentiu, United States. He says, since 5 years has passed without some of these pending tasks within the agreement being implemented and 14 months left for election to happen next year, will the upcoming 2024 general election be free and fair without censors carried out, and then without the international community supporting the agreement? And still, just this week, there has been a lot of defection here and there. Has monitor, what is your comment about this defection? Is it a violation of the agreement? That's from Tap Mark Dio in Bentiu. Another one here is coming from Jekino Samuel from WOW, said, without a permanent constitution, will the election be free and fair? And we had two questions coming in from Manut from WOW. He was asking about the issue of security right now all over the country. When people are moving on the street, you find people being ambushed. There are a lot of unknown gunmen. Weapons are all over the country. So how free will this election be? Mbia from Tonch was asking about the status of the IDPs who are within the country, plus the refugees. What happens to them if they don't repatriate them before election? Is it also necessary? These are some of the few questions. Jekino from WOW is asking about the permanent constitution. And then Shatta from WOW is asking about the deployment, what are the challenges, and Tap Mark from Bentiu is having three questions. The one, the support from the international community, the defection, I'm sure you have heard about it, and then these pending tasks within 14 months, is it feasible?
Thank you. Maybe I want to start with Shatter James. First of all, when you listen to the political parties, they will say that one of the great challenges that they're having is, of course, the resource, logistics for the forces to move around and also to be deployed. These forces have also not even been paid, those who are in these training camps that are graduated. So basically, the most important critical issue here is about finances or resources. That is one of the issues that they are saying. Secondly, also, I think there is also, there's not the political level agreement in terms of how they will share these positions have also not been completed. And this is delaying the whole process. And that is key, the issue of the finances and the issue of the agreement on the sharing. Of course, the other issue that the government is also stating is an issue regarding the weapons, that they do not have weapons and they cannot be deployed with sticks. Well, that is a matter that is being propagated by the government. And of course, it's related to arms embargo, that they would want arms embargo lifted so that the forces can have the weapons. That's basically what we hear from the government side. In regard to the period that is left, this is a question from Mark Dew. Yes, indeed, we should also understand that there have been challenges, no doubt. We must also give credit where it is due, that those 5 years, there has been, of course, tremendous progress in the sense that we have the government in power We have the parliament. We have the governors out there. We have the state councils and so on and so forth. And also, we also have seen some element of economic development in the country. So we cannot rule out that there has not been progress and direction. But in regard to the implementation of the agreement, yes, there has been progress. But again, what is important is that the very key issues that we think are important for elections are the ones that have not yet been completed. So we are saying, within 14 months, is it possible to have the constitution? Is it possible to have census? Is it possible to have all the communities that have moved out?
The IDPs, the refugees.
Well, one thing is that the refugees do not really have to come back for elections. They can even vote where they are. A second, refugees actually is a choice. You can decide to come or you can decide not to come. Refugees is a choice because you left. You can decide to come or not to come. You cannot be forced to come back. That should be understood. The issue of the IDP settlement, yes, it's an important issue. But again, you have to be realistic where we are now as a country. I don't know whether this is going to be possible in the 14 months myself. And another issue that is even more important is the issue of the census. Census, of course, it is envisaged in the agreement. But again, do we have the time for that? That's again the question that can only be answered by the government, because we monitor. But I can say that in such a situation of this nature, and even the time that is left, my other worries are even the time left even for registration of voters. Remember, this country has we are going towards the rainy seasons now, and if the rains start, not much of activities will happen. And you begin to see the window opening between probably December, January, February, around there. That's when the weather is good. And if it doesn't happen then, of course, there will be no window open because of the nature that the weather is like. So some of the challenges that we foresee. In terms of the question by Samuel, whether the constitution and issues regarding whether they will be free and fair, yes, of course, it's difficult for me to say that. But the point is that the critical issues that are laid down by the agreement, which are written in this agreement because they were seen to be critical to help this country move forward without problems, then that's why we say that it is important that they are followed. In terms of the security in the country, yes, the unification of forces would help, because once you have unified the forces, they will be deployed to ensure that the country is secure. And basically, that is all what we are saying. Defections, yes, defections indeed is amazing, because we are supposed to be unified. Why defecting to where? I mean, we are supposed to be unified forces. And as I've said again, the militaries are not supposed to be political militaries. They're supposed to be apolitical militaries. That was the idea of unification. Unify the militaries so that they are not loyal to political parties, but they are loyal to the country. So unless we get there, and that's the importance of unification, because once you unify, you don't get this problem. But as long as we remain indecisive on these unification issues, all these problems will start occurring. And remember, the unification process was supposed to have done a long time ago. So these issues in the first place should not be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, 0912062079. Hello, Redimira. Hello. Yes, we have also some questions coming in here via our SMS number. I will be reading them some shortly. Hello, Redimira. Hello.
Sonny Martin.
Yes, your name?
David Magok from WOW.
Okay, Magok. Go ahead, James.
Sonny Martin, I would like to ask the monitoring group. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of violations, and the citizens are not compatible, and there are a lot of violations of which the monitoring team, they don't even ask. Where do they report? And if there is violation, what are the consequences that they do? The policies that they are playing, we don't even see. What is their role as the monitoring team? This is number one. Number two, there is nothing called permanent constitution. The country is already have a constitution of which people can go for election. But there is no freedom of space of which the politics should be exercised. Like in the towns now, you don't go outside. People are just remaining inside like those in the prison. The monitoring team, what do they really play in the country so that we know the peace is implemented?
Okay.
Thank you.
Hello, Redimira. 0912062079 is the number for you to call and be part of our discussion here. Or you can also send us your question to our SMS number 0912177141. Yes, Ambassador, this question, there are a lot of violations happening here and there. The monitoring body, what are there punitive measures that should be given to those who violate the agreement? And he says, we do have the Transitional Constitution of the Republic of South Sudan 2011, and the only issue is there's no civic space, like you mentioned in your opening statement later on. What is being done to advocate for at least civic space in the country as people gear up for the election come next year?
Well, in regard to the violations, I want to mention that we have an institution called SITSTAM, VM. This is an institution that is responsible for monitoring the violations. And the violations that they are supposed to monitor are violations that are conducted or violations by the political parties that have signed the agreement. I don't know when he says there are a lot of violations. I don't know exactly what he means by that. But basically, the violations that are by the parties to the agreement, they are monitored by the CITSAM VM. And once they monitor these violations, the reports are brought through from CITSAM VM to RJMEC. If there are those issues that we need to government to action on, we normally forward to the government and we discuss with the government. We have several times been able to sit with the several ministers who are, for example, the minister from Minister Lomuro. We have discussed some of this. We have discussed with the chief of the defense forces, both from the opposition and the deputy general Lam and general Santino. And also, we have been able to forward some of the things that we think are beyond us to IGAD. So basically, that's how you deal with the violations. The question regarding the freedom of speech, civic space, these are some of the things that we are saying that they are part of what would be, once the political parties cancel, of course, is in place, we would expect this to open up more. Secondly, even the constitution of 2011 constitution that he is quoting, it talks about the civil rights in the country. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's already in the constitution that people should be free to speak, people, freedom of speech, civic space. It's only the question of implementation. I think that's what he's talking about. And these are the things that need to be discussed, things that need to be brought about, so that we begin now to talk about politics from that perspective.
A senior member of the SPLM-IO, who is also a member of parliament, last week in Palm Africa Hotel, during the political parties forum organized by the United Nations Mission in South Sudan, said that there is a need for dialogue among the parties who are implementing the peace agreement here in Juba and other stakeholders to come to a round table, sit and now say, what do we want as parties as we head towards election? What can we implement in these 14 months? What can we not implement? If we cannot implement, what is plan B? What is your comment in regards to this call for a roundtable discussion on the challenges facing the peace agreement?
I think, first of all, there is what I mentioned earlier, that there is the high level standing committee, which has all the political parties. That is a forum that's already established there. Even these political parties, like the IO, also represent that committee. That is one institution they can use to talk as an institution. Any issues that the parties discuss, as long as the parties agree, there is no problem. If all the parties can agree that they want those kind of forums, there's nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. It's a question of the parties agreeing, because the elections involves everyone, and it involves even those parties that are not actually, as I mentioned earlier. So basically, the high-level study committee and also any other forum that may include all other parties, it's nothing that violates the agreement in regard to that. And as you probably may recall, that the joint trilateral task force who has been having meetings on the political with the political parties, including those political parties that are not actually signatory to the agreement, and they have been discussing these issues. These forums have been going on, and I think these matters that were discussed could have been brought or will be brought forward in those discussions, in those forums, because they are still going on.
And finally, what will it take the parties or for them to really work hard to achieve at least 50% of what is left right now before we head to election? What do you think the parties should be doing right now within these 14 months?
I think there is need for the political parties to seriously think about, if we are going to have elections for 14 months, there must be a very deliberate approach, a very strategic planning with very clear, achievable objectives going forward on what needs to be done. If it is going to have elections by the current constitution, if that's what they do, like someone is suggesting there, then there is a procedure for that also. As long as the parties agree and it is discussed by the parties, all the parties, and they agree, there is a procedure in the agreement, and Article 8.4, that can be followed. Whether that is going to satisfy the requirement that originally made this agreement to come into place is another matter. But the bottom line is that they need to hasten so that they are able to be able to achieve this within the time frame that is there. Otherwise, we do not want to get to a situation whereby we are not able to go for elections. And, of course, we don't see any window for extension. As you know, of course, there is an issue regarding the international community concern. That's someone was asking whether they are going to support elections. Yes, the international community out there, there's a lot of political support. There is actually a lot of support for South Sudan in terms of this particular focus going forward. It is only a question of the South Sudan itself demonstrating that they are implementing this agreement. That's the only way that the international community will be able to come on board and support the situation.
Thank you so much, Ambassador Major General Retired Charles Tai Gitwai, the RGMEC chairperson, for coming to talk to Radio Mirai this evening. We appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, listeners.
And with that, we have come to the end of our first hour discussion. The news is coming next at the top of the hour in English, and that is at 6 p.m. Join my colleague David Lucan for the second hour of Nationwide. My name is Sunny Martin. Stay tuned.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Mirai.